Hey everyone, welcome to another exciting edition of the Pulling on Heaven podcast, where every day is the greatest day of your life, the greatest season of your life, no matter what you're facing, because God is good. Thank you, Pastor Gary Zamora, for having me on with you today.
Oh man, always a joy. We always have such a great time sharing the greatest season of our lives. Again, Jesus said, this is the day. So if it doesn't happen today, at least by faith, something incredible is going to happen. When will it happen? You know, that distance is what we're trying to, as Paul ministered, you know, the gospel of reconciliation, we're ministering the same thing. Let's take the distance out of the way and let's hunt the ghost.
I love that. We're going to change the podcast to Hunting the Ghost would be the new title, I think. Yeah. You know, it's so funny. I was thinking about earlier that I remember when I first heard you talk about this being the greatest season of your life. And then I remember like a couple years later, you were saying this is the greatest season of your life. And at first I remember being a little disappointed because, because I took it from that perspective. Like I thought that that was the greatest season because something amazing was going to happen. And while my life was going good, like the great things that I thought were going to happen didn't happen in that season. And then, you know, a couple years later, he's saying, this is the greatest season of your life. And it was, and I remember being disappointed. And then a little bit longer, it was like, oh, I get it. I lost some of my immaturity. I haven't lost all of my immaturity, but I lost some of my spiritual immaturity and came to understand what that really means in terms of who God is and what we have and what he's given us and the opportunity to believe and to trust him and to see beyond what we can see in the now. Because all we really have is today. All we have is this season. Mm-hmm. And he's created it for the greatest time with him ever.
Yeah, regardless of what you're doing, you know, if you're sitting down, relaxing, you've had a busy day, you're sitting there, you're relaxing, enjoying the day, it's, you know, we really live in within the framework of our understanding and how we see, how we think. It's why the word says, cast down every thought and imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So let's say it like this. If it doesn't look like God, if it doesn't look like some aspect, some virtue of God, then don't think about it. Put a different word, a different thought, a different idea, so it looks like God, because God's word backs that. His word is forever faithful. His word is ever present. His word in him is yes and amen. And that's what it really means. What is God doing today? I mean, if we're alive today, we're living, we're breathing, we can call on his name, then something great has to happen. Whether we see it with these eyes, I mean, we've been talking, you and I, quite a bit about that invisible realm and what it means and what it is and where is it and what does it do and how do you get there or do you get there? And it's really all those the word called it the mystery of the kingdom, the mystery. Paul talked about the mystery and he encouraged and nudged people towards looking for the mystery of his word, the mystery of salvation, the mystery of reconciliation and righteousness and truth and who Christ in us is. And I mean, how can this, if Christ is in us and he's given us life and purpose in this day and we know to call on him, isn't this the greatest day of our lives?
Yeah.
And yesterday, because we had that opportunity to do the same, and tomorrow will become today, you know, a few hours from now. Yeah. I mean, isn't that a way to establish the ability to reason wisely and to have a foundation that you can't get off track or sidetracked by something that takes place? You can interpret it according to the will of God. And if we do that, we find ourselves a lot less apt to be in a situation where we just say, oh, this is a wash of a day. This is the worst day of my life. I mean, and everybody's been there. We've all been there. Yeah. But what's God's answer for that? God's doing something today, even if it feels challenging or difficult or uncertain, my certainty is God is with me doing something that is important and valuable to me, and I'm hunting the ghost of that witness. I'm hunting the ghost of that reality, God's reality. I'm seeking the kingdom of God. It all interprets the same. Seek first the kingdom of God and watch what incredible things take place.
Yeah.
There is so much in front of us every single day that is so valuable that we overlook because we look for something so much less than what God is offering us, the presentation of who Christ in us is. I mean, in the wilderness, how many examples, how many times did God say, so you will know that I am God with you? And everything that they wanted to see, we're hungry, we're thirsty, you know, we want meat, we don't want bread or anymore, you know, we want meat and bread. And every time God gives, and did it ever change anything? Not really. No. But when your heart was surrendered, when their heart was surrendered, when Caleb's heart was surrendered, and he said, I remember and believe the word of the prophet, the word of the Lord, that brought him into a place where he could walk in dominion, he could walk in the blessing and favor of the Lord. It's the same thing today, same God. And our advantage today is this is a new covenant day. This is the Spirit of God living within us. So if we're going to look for anything instead of God, meet this, do this, take care of that, let's search the harvest of the Spirit. You know, let's search for the harvest of the Ghost. Let's see what secret, what is it in the mind of God that I have no clue that I even need to know, because my joy, my sense of fulfillment is locked up in there, and God didn't hide it from us. He hid it for us, so we would have to find it by faith, because faith is a lens that sees the heart of God and walks, leads us in the favor to walk with God in his favor. And then we can be also a pleasing experience to the Lord. How great is that?
Yeah, that's amazing. Uh-huh. Well, and I think so much of the ways we get our eyes on all those things around us that might cause us to think that our circumstances are in contradiction to that idea that this is the greatest day or this is the greatest season. You keep talking about the idea of Christ in us. And I think that's one of the first, I mean, that is what separates one of the most unique things about being a believer, is that I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, or Christ in me, the hope of glory. But so often we tend to live our lives thinking about, even when we know God's with us, God's out there with us, not God in here with us. Yeah. And what that means when we think of the life that Jesus lived, you know, and then what that looks like, okay, now he's inside of me living this life.
Yeah,
and
literally.
And so our consciousness of that, I think we sell that so far short of what that means to live that way. We were talking about last time, and you talked about this on Easter, about Jesus being, when they broke the sound barrier, and for so long, no one thought it was possible, and then their planes would fall apart as they got closer, and everyone called it the sound barrier, as if this was physical structure and everything like that. Yeah. But a few people believe we got to be able to get past it because there's this 50 caliber bullet that can go past the sound barrier, you know? And
so
it's possible. And, you know, Jesus is that. So it's not just Jesus being there. Okay. He did that. Now we can do that. That did that is in us. By nature, we become the 50 caliber bullet. and how different can we approach our days from that mindset and what we can accomplish? Then even that, I trust God, I believe God, but God's out there maybe orchestrating stuff rather than God being the power that causes me to do anything.
That's awesome. Well, think about it. And it's exactly as you say. Jesus is at 50. He's my 50 caliber bullet. He's the one that proved that I can do it, Christ in me. But think about this. When Christ died on the tree, one of the first things that happens is the veil of separation was torn from top to bottom. In other words, get this out of the way. What was the heartbeat of the Spirit? Let's take the separation between God and man away, and let me abide and dwell in him by my Spirit. The Holy Ghost, you will receive power. What does that mean? And you hear dunamis power and all this. But what does that mean? It means the heartbeat of God living, thinking through you. And the greatness of the love of God is it doesn't want to live separate from its creation. Yeah. Love created us. Love formed humanity. And love redeemed humanity. What redeemed humanity created humanity. For God so loved the world that he gave, never changed. God gave. Man brought the separation and the laborious tasks of religion and trying to be this good and trying to be, and I tried and I failed. And trying does more discouraging than believing. Because when it's in your mind, this is who Christ in me is, you lose sight of your weakness, your inabilities. And say someone says, well, I stumbled and fell. But you're looking at you saying, that's him, but who I am is Christ in me. And Christ is walking in me. That wasn't my fall. I mean, that wasn't my born-again fall. Yeah. That was the past fall. Today is the present day. Today I'm walking, I'm running, I'll run through a troop, I'll leap over a wall. Jesus said, I'm taking all the harshness, all the hard work, because if I take the work of righteousness out of the way, you can't fail by not doing that work right.
Yeah.
Because it's no longer about you doing the work right, doing it excellent or close enough or, you know, a little better than average. All that is gone. And what Jesus is saying, and we talked about it earlier, you know, the labor, the intense labor becomes the hindrance. It's the weakness, and it's the understanding that becomes the promoter and what empowers us. And it really is realizing, just like I'm inhaling oxygen and it oxygenates and brings life into every cell in my body. Christ is doing that in me. Christ isn't in the distance saying, I'm trying to get closer to you. I'm trying to get closer to you. That's why Paul said, I want you to understand, I want you to think from the maturity of Christ being in you. And what he was saying is to be mature, is to think about what you just said. He's literally living on the inside of me. He is a spirit. He is the spirit of the living God. And when he made humanity, he said, I'm going to dwell in that. That's what God said. He said, this is my present home for the future. This is my present home for the future. This is my home now and for always. And I'm revealing the essence, the virtue of who I am through your faith by saying and believing this. Christ abides in me in his fullness, just like God abode in Christ, dwelt in Christ in his fullness. What is it that I can't do? What is it that wouldn't be easy for me if someone's doing it through me, for me? Right. That's take my yoke on you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly, you'll find rest to your soul.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think so often we look at the things that Jesus did and we look at him and says, yeah, but he was Jesus and yeah, he was God. And I want to be very careful because this could sound blasphemous, and I don't want it to sound blasphemous at all. Jesus is God. Jesus is the creator of the universe, our only salvation. But he came in the form of a human for us to then take on that same life. That's, I believe, you know, the Bible calls us his body, not, I don't think, in a physical, in a, even an allegorical sense, meaning that we are here carrying out, he left so that he was one person here and he left to send himself to be in us. So now there could be millions and millions and billions of him.
Yeah. Well, on he's this called earth. The firstborn of many to be, the firstborn of many brethren.
Yeah.
He is the firstborn of the likeness that he was. I mean, think about it. He came as a man. I came as a man. You came as a man. And God indwelt him. God indwells you. God indwells me. And he walked according to the will and the word of the Lord. He said, I'm not doing my will. I'm doing the will of the Father. The whole point was to say, this is who you are, okay? So I'm coming in the fullness of your purpose, and I'm coming in the authority and the life of the Father. But I'm demonstrating who you were created to be. That's why it's called redemption, getting you back into the position.
Yeah.
Adam, the name literally is Son of God, and we are the sons of God, the firstborn. We are a first fruit of that spirit of Christ, and in so many diversified ways, because God, not only is his life endless and eternal, but so are all his virtues. I mean, the virtues of love, it's like light. How many spectrums of love are there? We still don't even know how many spectrums of light. I mean, still learning so many different things about light and the use of different lights and waves and sounds. And I see it as the voice of God. When God spoke, his word became in one form, it became light. You know, when God's word spoke, it became the seas. God's word spoke and it became humanity. It's all of him, through him, and to him are all things, which means it came out of God. It came from him. We are the thoughts of God. So God doesn't want us to think on that separation level, God across the table over there from me. So he said, he didn't say, you know, he said, I'm going, he said, you're going to dine with me, but this is how. He said, I'm going to abide in you. And he said, take, eat, this is my body. Eat of the bread of life. Let this bread be in you. Let this river of living water be in you. Let this blood that I'm sharing through you course through the spirit of your mind. You know that you are, well, the word literally says, as he is, and there's only one God, only one Lord, and only one Christ. That's it. No one else is God. But the essence, the spirit of his life dwells. He created this, these vessels to dwell in by faith. And what we experience every time we walk through something that demands our faith be employed is we're walking in the nature of his will, because we are walking in an unseen time with, actually, we don't know what the outcome was going to be. What does it look like at the end? And God says, that's a mystery. And Christ is planted inside of all of us. And God is saying, show me the mystery of that seed. Show me the form of that seed in you. Paul said it like this. He said, I'm teaching, I'm praying, I'm laboring in faith till Christ be formed in you.
Yeah.
So God is looking. He's looking for the Spirit. What does Christ look like in you? What does Christ look like in you? What does Christ look like in you? Show me that form, because God is endless. His ways are past finding out, but they are revealed. You can't sit there and look at them under a microscope and say, well, this is this DNA of God and that and that. You know, what he's saying is, I've shown you enough. Only a fool can look up and say there is no God. Mm-hmm. You know, just to think about being here today to me still blows my mind, because I know where here came from. If there's creation, there has to be a creator. If there's order, there has to be someone that ordered that. If there are laws, there has to be a lawgiver. God is the divine of all that. He is the authority of all that. We're here. We're alive today. We're talking. We are talking, and we came from the nature and the will of the Father. So how close is God's will to you? As close as you are as a person, because you are the creative will and desire of God. No matter how much you've messed up in your life, how many regrets you have, if you will consolidate to this Christ in me is my hope of glory. And maybe don't get it all, maybe don't understand it all, but I'm going to let my ear hear my mouth say it. That's where we're starting. That's my first step across the bridge. I'm not at a bus stop waiting to be picked up and taken somewhere. I'm starting my journey. And you know what? God's with you in it all. He's walking every step of the way with you, because he's walking and living on the inside of you. I love that he said to Moses, when Moses said, these people are going to kill me if I don't get them some water. They want to stone me right here, right now. God said, go to the rock. He said, I'll stand before you. Just like, wow. God's saying, can you imagine God saying, I'll stand before you? Imagine how incredible it is. That's what he's saying. I'm standing before you. I'm standing within you. How incredible is that? And yet, people have a tendency to push everything off to another time, another age. We're past this. We're past that. Does God change? Is he God? Is he the same? What would he change into? His nature is endless, so it's constantly being revealed. But perfection doesn't have to change. Mm-hmm. His way, this God, my God, his ways are perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. And how small we make him, okay, even when we admit he's inside of us, how small we make him, because it effectively means nothing in most of the ways that we apply that, because it becomes like, okay, he's in me, so I guess that means salvation, but it means so little to us, you know, and versus everything that you were just speaking about, and that what that power and that life is, and what we could be, and how we aren't meant to reduce it. And you always like to say, you know, people always say, I'm only human. And you say, well, that means you're only dirt, you know, and you're only, you're only dust. And when he, the whole point of what he did, I don't know that he really had to die to just say, I love you and forgive you.
Right.
Because the act of coming to die was an act of forgiveness beforehand, because if you don't forgive someone first, you're not going to do something nice for them, you know, in some way. So it's an expression of his forgiveness and the empowering of us. And I think about so many people out in the world, I think there's spiritual, you know, quote unquote, spiritual people out there that, you know, won't accept Jesus as divine, but say some ways he's the embodiment of the divine that's meant to be in all of us, you know, and that's kind of a new agey. And in a biblical sense, that's not true. That's sacrilegious. But I think what they're at least touching on is there's something that we're supposed to truly be that looks like what Jesus really was, and that he came, as you said earlier, so that that life that he lived now lives inside of us, and that we wouldn't discount that, but we would seek what that means and looks like to the fullest.
Seek what it means. Powerful words. Well, he said this is pretty straight to the point. He said, I'm the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And he said, I'm going, but I'm not going to leave you alone. He said, I'm coming back to you. I'm sending you the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And he said, and now you are the light of the world. I mean, we overcomplicate it, because in essence, what we end up saying is I'm too great. I'm too big, too bad, too much of a mess up, of a discount to be like God. Well, we didn't make ourselves to be anything.
Right. That's
God created us for his purpose and his pleasure. He's the one that said, I'll dwell in them. So what we're doing in essence is we're believing the word of God. We're believing his purpose. And when we don't, then we discount the very ideas of God.
Yeah.
And we fight, as the word says, the carnal mind is not subject to the laws of God, and it cannot be, the carnal mind. But if we live in the Spirit, what does that mean? It means what we're talking about now. Not this mind. Think this way. Think by the Spirit. Think when we act on faith and act in faith, we're living in the Spirit, because we're saying, God, this is, you are the Spirit, and we're believing into who you are, but not at a distance, because the covenant is, the distance is gone, the veil is rent, and you came to make your abode within us in ways that we don't know. We're hunting the ghost. We're seeking the kingdom of God. Go up to the upper room and wait for the empowering of the Holy Spirit. I mean, and like they knew what they were waiting for, did they? Like, yeah, we're going to go up. Did they think, and a wind is going to blow, and then it's going to look like cloven tongues? No, they just went up. They said, we're just obeying the word of God. We come up, and we're coming into one mind, to one accord. Probably wasn't that difficult, because you could talk about what Jesus did. That was him. I mean, he came. That was him. You guys, you know. Do you realize, Peter, John, you know what happened? He came, and he's gone, and we're here waiting. What, how, in what form is he going to show up this time? Hunting the ghost, waiting for the power, and to be endued with power from on high. And he came, and he's here. He's here. And what keeps us from walking in full measure is trying to dictate what that measure is, what it looks like, instead of just rejoicing, worshiping, praising, thank him. He says he seeks true worshipers. The one thing God's looking for is that mystery. He's looking for that mystery of Christ within us, that treasure. He says, I'm seeking true worshipers. What is a true worshiper? That worship in spirit and in truth. Well, in simplicity, in simple terms, it means I believe God, not just believe in God.
Yeah.
I believe God. He said he abides in me. He's everywhere present. He'd never leave me. That his word is in me, his spirit is in me, his life is in me, he made me the light. Reveal yourself in your fullness. That may show up at times as something so seemingly subtle and quiet that no one but you would know. Peace, joy, sense of confidence or certainty, an understanding of how you think from this point forward. Your worship, but it's all connected, and it brings such transition and change, not only in your life, but in everyone that comes within the sphere of your influence.
Mm-hmm.
God is so present. I used to say, and still say all the time, God is so God. He's just so God. It's beyond expression, but it is by revelation.
Yeah.
And that's what would the scriptures say, the spirit of foretelling, spirit of prophecy, what that really is. What prophecy is, every prophetic word of God that comes to pass, it's Christ being revealed. It's Christ being made manifest. And God said, you're the vessels that I'm going to do it through. So just, you know, take the distance out of the way, you know, pull the drape back and say, God, just show me your mind, And my needs, what I need, are second, thirdary. I mean, they're somewhere down the road. I need your mind, I need your heart, and it's in me, so I'm hunting the ghost. I seek the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago, you were talking about, it's a secret.
It's a secret.
I love that. And I just had the thought, this picture in my head of when Jesus ascended into heaven and the disciples are standing there and the angel said, why are you standing here staring up in the cloud? Like, go. And that idea of hunting the ghost made me think of it's a hide and seek.
Yeah. It's meant to be, he's meant, the whole experience is meant to be a joy. It's meant to be an expression of our love in seeking, in going in the direction of God. It's crossing the bridge, going to the other side. And he's not, it's not like they had to get through the Red Sea to get to God.
Mm-hmm.
He had already been behind them, above them, before them. He proved he was all around then.
That's right.
You know, but the point was, is I mean, I'm before your eyes. You can hear me. You can hear the sound of my voice or my wind. There was a time when Moses went up to the mountain. The people said, we can hear God, but we don't want to hear him. It's terrifying. You hear him for us. No, God, I want to hear you for myself. Yeah. I want to hear you for myself. But it's looking for those dynamics that we can't discount. I can see you without seeing you. I can hear you without hearing you. I can sense your presence. They saw all these things. Everything that your eye and ear could be full of that said God didn't change them. Mm-mm. Because it was something they were looking at from a distance. But when that life it's emanating from you, and it's the word says, out of our bellies flow rivers of life-giving water, it convinces you of what you believed. Because it bears witness. And that's what Jesus said. When the Holy Spirit comes in, he's not just going to bear witness through you. He's going to bear witness to you that I'm Christ within you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, how powerful. If we could take that day and an understanding of this is the greatest day of your life because Christ is inside me and he's not far off, and I get to now spend the day wherever I'm at, whatever I'm doing, with the author, creator of the universe and of myself, you know, with no separation. And if we can put our minds to that, the impact for the kingdom, you know, and what God can do through the world. You know, I like what you say in conclusion. You talk about, like, we're going back to God doesn't call us to change the world. He calls us to change heaven.
Yeah.
God's going to do what he wants.
Yeah.
But only through us.
Yeah.
And so we have to go, okay, I'm the vessel worthy and intimate with him. And there's not that separation, so that then he will, not just can, he will, and he does.
He will and he does. And yeah, it's you know, our position isn't to try and convince people and to move the earth. We're here to move heaven. And where I see that is, it says, whatever we release from the earth is released from the heavens. That's moving the heavens. The word says the angels look to see what God is doing through our faith, things that can only be seen through the faith that we have in Christ. Our faith is different than the faith of heaven. I mean, they've seen him as the Word, and they see him. But Jesus said, no eye has seen, not even the angels has seen who you are in your fullness. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, yet I'm revealing it through them, those believers that I have created. And here's something so important. Don't try to wrap your mind around it. It overwhelms your mind.
Yeah.
But if you're not living an overwhelmed life through Christ, you're living an underwhelmed life without Christ. So be overwhelmed with the goodness of God. Don't try to understand it, no more than they understood what was going to happen when they went up to the upper room. He's going to fill us. How? What? We've never experienced this before, but Christ did what he said. He sent the Holy Spirit, filled them. They spoke with tongues, bore witness, but it's not just a witness to the people around you. It testifies of his power in you.
Yeah.
God wants us to be as empowered and bear witness within us that we may know him better, just as we want people around us to know him better.
Yeah.
This is that day.
Yeah, amen. That was his prayer in the garden. He says, Father, that they might know you like I know you.
Yeah.
And what a gift that is. And man, I just want to encourage everyone watching that calls on the name of the Lord. If you haven't called on the name of the Lord, call on the name of the Lord. And yeah. if you do believe in the fullness of what he is inside of us and that he has empowered us to walk, we're not salvation for anybody. He is a salvation. But if we believe he is alive and empowered inside of us, what can or won't he be able to do through us?
Amen. 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 Incredible. And I want to pray with everyone.
Yeah.
If you don't know Christ as Lord, this is a time right here. Just say, Jesus, I believe by faith. I can't explain it all. I can't wrap my head around it naturally, but I believe you. Be God through me. Be glorified in me. Jesus, fill me with your word, your life, your spirit. My sins are forgiven, washed away. The old is past, the new is come. Fill me with your word, your life, and your spirit. I acknowledge you as the Christ, the Son of the living God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And it is finished.
It is finished.
And God has finished it for us, and he's working through us. Greatest season of your life.
Amen.
Today.
And this podcast is finished too.
Amen. God bless. Until next time.